to her.
She's hilarious. I've heard her too. I've heard all her names, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thank you. Got there, Lauren. Hi. Oh, nice.
Awesome. Y'all are blessed. Thank you for coming.
You
bet. You bet. You bet. See that? I'm honored. Wow. It's a little hot. Yeah. Give him a couple minutes. How's that? No. Yeah. Yes. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to track it here, but yeah. That's, yeah. Give me 10 minutes.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
Anything else before?
Next one, I'm gonna need another bottle of water.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you think it went okay?
Please. Thank you.
Hey everybody, good evening. Thanks for coming. It personally just warms my heart to see so many people excited about a session on prayer. So just from a thank you from a nobody, I appreciate that very much. Our speaker tonight is Randy Davis. He is a pastor of adults at Quail Springs Baptist Church all the way in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So he comes to us representing himself and his beautiful wife, Amy, and they have 3 boys. So he'll be here talking to us about prayer. So make sure everybody signed in. That's my one job. So if you'll please make sure you grab it on the way in or the way out, that's fine. I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, give it up right here. Hey, give it up for Holly. Good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. I can tell I'm fading because this is about the time I crawl in bed. And so now we're going to talk about prayer. So we could have a little 50-minute prayer nap, maybe? No. I, along with Holly, I'm excited that you're here. Thank you. There's more chairs. You feel free to grab them. I am honored. I appreciate you being here. I love your church, meaning I love you. You're the church, right? This brick and mortar is not the church. So I'm grateful that you're here. I'm honored that you're here with what Holly said about prayer, okay? I'm also honored by the fact that there's a diversity of ages in here. One of the things I was reminded of reading the New Testament and reading about the early church is that there are no distinctions between ages, okay? The body of Christ is the body of Christ. Because what I sadly hear as a pastor of an age-graded group is that sometimes, well, the young ones don't want to be with the old ones, and the older ones don't want to be with the young ones, and the middle ones are the in-between, and they could give a rip about either one on either side. God's Word says nothing of that. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be together there as well. Right? All right. So that was free. That didn't cost you anything. Let me open us up with prayer. No, let me wait for that for a second. We're going to get to that. Because I want us to do a little prayer exercise, okay? And I know this might rattle you if you're a Baptist by way of foundation and been there since the cradle, okay? So we're going to do, but it's not going to be scary, okay? Don't leave the room. You should have a handout and hopefully have a pen. And I wanted to go through these bullet points. And I come to you as just a humble servant of the Lord, just like you. Okay, we're all ministers. You realize that. Okay, some get paid to do nothing, as some folks think, or only work one day a week. But we're all here as ministers of the gospel. And I want you to realize bullet point number one is that the business that we're in, and many of you are in businesses, right? You work for a business or you work for this. We are in the spiritual business, okay? What we do here at this church and what I do at my church in Oklahoma City is spiritual business. And a really cool scripture that you need to write down there is John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. Verse 60 says, on hearing it, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching, who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling, meaning Jesus, about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what you see the Son of Man, when you see the Son of Man ascend to where he has been before, listen to this, verse 63. The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. One of the things that we are about as believers is that we're in the spiritual business. God's word commands us as Christians, as his followers, as his children, that we should be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, meaning be controlled by the Spirit. And that's a daily, ongoing process, okay? So I come to you not as a spiritual giant. I'm come to you as a journeyman like you, all right? And that we're all in this journey. And we're trying to do what we know to do from God's word is to please him and glorify him and make him known, right? And one of the ways that we can do that is to realize that prayer is so important to us. Many people relate prayer to the air that we breathe, okay? Isn't that good? Okay, just prayer, the air, communicating, talking to the Father. We're in spiritual business. Now, with that, write down somewhere in there, Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And I'm going to give you this prayer resource here in a little bit. So you're going to get some of this as just some scriptures on prayer. But you know the story of Acts, birthing of the church. And in verse 23, it says here that the believers begin to pray. And it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they had heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, and they prayed. Has there been anybody in here ever attended a church in Brooklyn, New York, called Brooklyn Tabernacle Church? Okay. Heard of it? I've had the privilege of going there twice. If you plan on going to heaven and you want to get a small taste of what I believe heaven will be like, you need to go to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Not that my church doesn't meet this need, not that this church doesn't meet your need, but every once in a while I get on YouTube and I have church, okay? Because their choir isn't half bad. They're still practicing and working on it. Everyone here with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Oh, my stars. They're incredible. But the other main important thing about that church that I love is their Tuesday night prayer meeting. You're going to read, I'm giving you a list of books on prayer. One, and I'm just crazy about this guy. His name is Jim Cimbala. He's the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Been there over 35 years. He wrote a book, and I have this down, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And it's about how God used him and his wife to start Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And it's all on based on prayer. But Pastor Cimbala says, as important as Sunday is, the most important service that he does is the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Anybody know how many seats are in your worship center in there? Approximately how many? 3,000? Okay. Well, that size is, well, I think Brooklyn's about 4,500, seats about 4,500. Prayer meeting on Tuesday night starts at 7. They open the doors at 5 o'clock. 5 in the afternoon, and by 5:30, it's hard to find a seat, because they believe in prayer. They believe in the power of prayer. I've been there twice. It's incredible. Unbelievable. And the things that God does in and through that church is amazing, because God believes in prayer as well. But we need to pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So, for me, what that means is to have an attitude of prayer. Might look like for me, I'm driving down the road, I'm going to work, God put someone on my mind, I pray for him. God put someone on my heart, I pray for him. I'm always praying for my family. My wife, Amy, of 25 years, we have three boys, and we just became empty nesters. So, for our kids, Mama Amy, and I'm learning this about women and mamas, they like their chicks all together. We know where they are. We know what they're doing. My oldest, Ian, went to Oklahoma State University on a golf scholarship. And so one day, it's freshman year, first semester, I'm thinking, hey, I'm calling Ian. So we call Ian that evening. Hey, how you doing? He said, I'm good. We're good. What do you mean we are good? He said, well, we're down in Oklahoma City at Bricktown. I said, this is Thursday night. Why aren't you studying? Well, friends want to come to Bricktown. Who knew? God. Lord, I pray for Ian to get back home safely. You know? Just pray. Pray, pray, pray. Now, here's a spiritual exercise that I want us to try. I've tried this at my church. Okay? We're too Baptist. Okay? We really hinder sometimes. Okay? Now, when I read in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, said, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. I heard your pastor pray tonight. I didn't hear anybody praying with him. When you go to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, and you go through this worship service, and it's kind of a guided prayer, he'll tell you, I want you to get in groups of three or four. And it's pews or rows seating just like yours. So you get huddled up, and he says, okay, let's begin. And there might be a topic that we're praying for. It might be a situation we're praying for. In Acts, it says, and they raised their voices together. They didn't sit there listening to me pray for a prayer that maybe someone say, I agree with that. Amen. Mm-hmm. Give a holy grunt. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay? All right? They raised their voices together. Now, picture that. If anybody's ever been in the arena of sports and you yelling and screaming because you're participating in that game, does that not do something for you? Or you're in the stands and there's crazy people around you as well cheering for your team. Go whoever. Does that not energize you? Does that not lift your spirits up to say, you can do it? You know, touchdown, dunk it, whatever, soccer, whatever. Soccer's not a sport. You hear that energy, okay? Sorry. Okay. All right. You feel the energy? You feel the energy? Okay. All right. You ready for this exercise? Because you came to pray, right? You came to hear about prayer. They raised their voices together. Now, you heard from your pastor who's traveling. You heard the event tomorrow. Wow. We need to call down heaven. We need to call down heaven for him to be protected, for him to have safe travel. I flew here yesterday. No, today's Friday. I flew in here today, and the plane was packed. They were offering free seats to anywhere around the world to give up seats. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this booger's full. And that took us, I think, 30 minutes to get down the runway. It took longer. God, pay out this plane. And then get it up in the air. So, you know, you get up there, and all of a sudden he just does this number, and you're going, oh, okay, we made it. Now, Lord, set it down in Houston. Pray. All right. They lifted their voice together. rip off being Baptist. And we're not going to get crazy, okay? Because I want to come back. But I want us to pray for the pastor. Pastor Greg, can I call him that? Pastor Greg, you call him whatever you want. Pastor Greg. We're going to pray for his protection. We're going to pray that God would bless him tomorrow, that God would energize him, and that God would protect the event. You heard the confrontation. Okay, so what? Raise their voices together. You're not going to hear me pray. You're going to pray and touch God. Okay? The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Now, I want you to pray in your normal voice. But you're going to hear your brothers and sisters on each side of you praying. And that's going to encourage you because you might hear something that they pray and you agree with that. And you jump right in there and pray that same thing. You get it? Lifted, they raise their voices together. And then let's pray Pastor Greg back home tomorrow so he can be fresh and ready to go Sunday. Okay? Now, at some point, I will raise my voice and we'll close this prayer time. Okay? And if you feel you want to huddle with two or three people, that's fine. But they raised their voices together. They didn't sit like a bump on a log like a bunch of Baptists. They raised their voices together. Okay? Filled with the Holy Spirit, being Spirit-led to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we're grateful for your incredible love and mercy and grace in our life. We thank you, Father, for your great protection. We pray for Pastor Greg as he travels. Pray, Father, you get him there safely. Lord, we pray you'll energize his body and his life and his spirit tonight, give him rest. We pray that your blood will protect all those that involve trying to do this great work. We pray, Father, that your angels would be stationed all about that place. Great things when your people pray. Father, I pray that as we move out of this place later, that even through the night, that our heart would be stirred through our spirit, even through our sleep, that our mind will be praying for Pastor Greg and all that is involved in that event tomorrow in Louisiana. Father, we also pray that you bring him home safely. And Father, again, that you would energize his body and Father, that he'd be fresh in the pulpit. 1-8 here in Houston and around the world. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the instructions that you've encouraged. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Number two, bullet point number two. Listen, there's no telling what God can and will do when his people pray. No telling. We just pray and leave it up to him. You've heard it said that when you can explain things that happened, many times God's probably not, he's there, he's involved. But listen, when you can explain it, then God really did it. There's no way that you and I can take credit for anything that he does. I mean, when you were born, you were a miracle. When I was born, I was a miracle. Let's go farther. When you were conceived, you and I were miracles. That God was involved in that process. So it's all about God. But he is waiting for his children to pray and to communicate and connect with him. He's waiting. He's desiring. And that event in Louisiana, from what I understand, is what needs to happen all across our country. Because they're praying for revival. And if you don't know that America and our country and our world needs revival, you've probably lived with your head in the sand. Because we need it. We really need it. And if we as God's people don't pray, it's not that God won't move, but he wants us to pray so he can move, because he said he will answer the prayers of the people according to his will. That's what we want, right? I prayed sometimes for selfish prayers. And the famous Garth Brooks sang a song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." Okay, Lord, there's plenty I'm thankful for. And I won't go into the list. Okay? Garth and I did go to high school together. I know we look very young, so that's why I connect myself to Garth. A good guy. But I do thank God for unanswered prayers. But what he wants is his people to pray. Now, the setting that we're talking about is your life Bible study group. Okay? Next bullet point. Your life Bible study group. That group is dealing with age or stage in life, related to life. All right? It's all kinds, all people, right, in this church. What I want you to do, on that next bullet point, I want you to list strengths, which is what we do well in your life Bible study groups. Just make a few notes. So remember, the context of why we're here about praying is how do we incorporate prayer into our small group Bible study and beyond. So think about the strengths that we do well with your life Bible study. So just make one or two marks or notes that you think, things that you know in your life Bible study that you do well, unrelated to prayer. We're going to get to prayer. What do you do well in your life Bible study groups? Make up one or two thoughts. Did I clearly communicate that? Okay. You can go on after you list one or two. The next bullet point, list weaknesses. What we don't do well in your life Bible study groups. All right. Tell me some strengths that we do well in life Bible study groups that happen on Sunday mornings on this campus. Okay, interaction. Praying for one another. Welcoming. Yes. Teaching, I heard. Okay. Yes. What's the time frame of your life Bible study groups from start to end, pretty much? What is it, 50 minutes, an hour? An hour? Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Now, weaknesses. What do we not do well? Follow up. Outreach. Accountability. Very good. Okay, here's the picture. Here's what I want to try and paint. In that 60 minutes, that hour, there's a lot of things that need to happen, that should happen, okay, on Sunday mornings. Greeting. We talked about greeting people, making and my session last hour and next hour will be about how to help our guest stick and stay, okay? So greeting is good. I kind of heard the word fellowship, talking, communicating, connecting. Okay, so we do that. We're Baptists. We got to eat something, right? We got to have something to eat or drink. That's got to be a strength, right? Okay, that's got to be strength. And I'm all about eating. Amen? That's right. Okay, you're looking at a healthy person right here. Okay, because I'm in shape. Because round's a shape, right? Okay, Baptist, we're Baptist, we got to eat, got to snack. Well, most of you came in here, someone was eating hummus. She didn't bring me a cup. Now, I'm grateful for these fruit, but come on, you know. Okay, so we do all the, and then we throw in Bible study, okay? And then some groups are really good at prayer, and then you make the teacher mad because you go into this long list of prayer needs, and it just aunts and uncles and pray for Aunt Sophilthy because she got a, you know, ingrown toenail and just all kinds of stuff, okay? That's painful. Sometimes we weed out prayer, don't we? Okay? So one of the things I want us to do, and listen, you guys have blessed me with your prayer a while ago, praying, raising their voices together. Wasn't that good? That was probably better than the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir sings, hearing that harmonious unified prayer time a while ago. So thank you for blessing me with that. Honestly, I was a little scared of it. I don't know if that was going to work or not, but man, y'all did good. Thank the Lord. Okay. So then we have these weaknesses. But my thing, my encouragement tonight is how do we integrate prayer? Okay? Do we just kind of put it on at the end or do we really take this serious? Which I think this group is going to take this serious, okay? Now, your next bullet point. I believe the major weakness in churches and Life Bible study groups is prayer. And what we do with it and what we don't do with it. How we involve it into our people's life. I said this last hour. You know, somewhere in Matthew, we labeled it the golden rule. What's that verse? Do unto others as, okay? Has there ever been a time in your life that you needed prayer? Everybody, right? And if we are not connected, the body's not connected, who do you call? Who do you go to? Who do you tell? Who do you tell in confidence? Listen, I want to be prayed for. And I have people that I know pray for me because I have prayer warriors that pray for me. I give them a list of things in which to pray for. Okay? I want to be prayed for. I'm not so proud to say, I don't need your prayer. That'd be bad. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. I would pray that you would want prayer. Right? And then sometimes we don't know what you're going through, but God will put Lester in my mind, and I begin to pray for Lester. Do I know Lester? No. But if I go home and God puts Lester in my mind and his face, and God, you know Lester. You know what he needs. You pray for Lester. You pray for people that come in. So I'm going to give you some tools, hopefully, that will help us incorporate prayer. Because the Bible says in James, you have not because you ask not. And then we go, what's up, God? You know everything. But this, you didn't come through. You have not because you ask not. Okay? Biblical principles. Now, the first line there, next bullet point, I want you to write James chapter 5, 13 through 18. James 5, 13 through 18. And I just got a new Bible, so I'm trying to learn these pages. 13 through 18, right? 5? Okay, listen to this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Ever been in trouble before? Whatever trouble is, okay? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. See the balance? See how it goes from one end to the other? Okay. I bet many of us, when we have something exciting to tell, we tell it, don't we? Tell this celebration, okay? So we have that. Is anyone among you sick? We've had some sick people, right? It says, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil. Oil? Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, now this is what we don't like. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Wow. Second one was 2 Chronicles 7:14. We know this one. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and what? Heal their land. That's a verse we could pray at the end of tonight for tomorrow's event in Louisiana and for our land. Hebrews 4:16 is another great one. I pray this often when I'm at a bedside in a hospital. It says, let let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't it awesome to know because of Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, the veil was ripped because God wanted man to get to him and man could get to God. The veil was torn, and we don't have to go through any other agency, advocate, anybody. We can go directly to the throne of grace, right up to the throne. One of my hobbies is I'm a basketball official for high school, and one of my referee partners is, I've got two or three that are Catholic, and one of them was telling me that he had sinned, and I was thinking, I'm not the father here, okay? Don't be coming to me. I mean, I'll pray for you. But he talked about how he felt like he needed to go talk to the Father and confess his sins. And I said, you're directly to the throne of grace, okay? And that's what we did a while ago. Our mind, and we approach the throne, and we could do that because of Jesus, because of his blood, because our sins have been forgiven. We can be awesome. Prayer illustration, next bullet point there. Let me ask you this, Pilate, anybody else? What size of plane? Small, that's what I do. Right. If I get this wrong, correct me, okay? I had the privilege of flying in a small plane, okay? And I was in the seat next to the pilot, because if it's small, there's no place else to sit, right? Okay. But think about prayer. So we get in, we do our thing, and he starts the engine. Power. He gives his call signal, right? Okay, so we're going to say this is GOD-77, ready to proceed. And the tower goes, okay, you can proceed south. And so he says, okay. So he gets to this point, and he says, okay, ready to advance. And the tower says, you need to wait right there. Okay, tell me when to proceed. This is the tower, GOD-77. You can go south now on this, what I call a side road, okay, runway, and head south because the wind's out of the north. You're going to fly into the, okay. Okay, so he gets down there, and all of a sudden the tower says, you need to slow down and stop. He says, okay, I'm slowing down. He says, you need to stop now. The pilot goes, okay. What we didn't see was this big plane, much bigger than us, was coming out of our left, and we would have crashed. Okay? Pilot says, thank you, tower. Appreciate that. Let me know when to proceed. Tower says, you can proceed, GOD-77, going down. All right, we're down here. We're ready. All right, you can turn and get over on runway 44 and hold. Okay. Gets there. All of a sudden, whoom, big old plane comes landing. Thank you, tower. Appreciate that. Now you're ready. GOD-77, take off. And good luck. Down the runway. Tower says, you're looking good. Proceed to your destination. And check in with the next. Stay in touch with the tower. Hour, GOD-77, God's perfect number. Stay in touch with the tower. Got it? Pray without ceasing. This is RD-54, me. Ready to start my day, God. Hey, it's good to see you. Good to hear from you. Got your Bible reading done? Yes, sir. To get something out of it? Yes, sir. What'd you learn? I learned I sinned against you. I'm sorry. Got it. You're forgiven. Forgotten. Proceed. Wherever they are. Pray for your wife. I always pray for God's blood to protect us and his angels to station themselves about us. And for his life. Stay connected. I go to the hospital. I'm there with the person dying. family members knowing they're going to die. God, I thank you that Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can approach your throne because we need help. God, I come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This is RD54 checking in, God. God says, hey, you have not because you ask not, but if you ask in faith, it'll be given to you. I'll send my peace to those family members. I'll help them through my spirit, give them comfort. That's how we go through. Stay in touch with the tower. You don't know which way to go. And then we get out there on our own thinking, hey, we can do this. We don't need God. God says, okay, go fly around, little buddy. See how well you do. And we've all been there, right? We have sad testimonies, don't we? And we did a little crash and burn, or we did a bump our toe, or major things. You know what God's doing? RD54, why didn't you check in? I could have helped you. I could have helped you. But no. Heavenly loving Father, let you learn on your own. Sometimes we have to learn that way, don't we? Tell you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know about yet. Seek my face. Call upon me, RD54. Check in. African-American preacher's name, E.V. Hill. Anybody ever heard of E.V.? My African-American friends, I just wish sometimes I could be black. Okay? Because E.V. can bring it. And it goes, check in with the tower. Call on me. Don't neglect the tower. Because I can see where you're going and what you're doing. But when you don't touch base with me, the tower, you will fall on your face. The tower. You're a parent in here. I never wanted my kids to scrape their knees. I never wanted them to hurt. I never wanted them to go through bad things. Tower. Looking out for us. Now, back to the setting. Life Bible study groups. We know time is limited to get everything in. The fellowship, first line. Announcements, Bible study, and then prayer. So, what I want to encourage you is to focus among all that stuff. And Ben was right tonight. Bible study is important. Very important. But other elements are important as well in life Bible study groups. But sometimes we squeeze prayer out. So I want us to focus on that next bullet point on prayer and how we can make it effective. First, number one there I want to encourage you to develop a prayer team. Okay? And, you know, here, we'll just do this. We'll just get this started. Develop a prayer team. Everyone needs to pray, right? Everyone can pray, correct? But there are some in the body of Christ that's what they love. And they love to do that. So let them be that engine that does that. And when you read Jim Cimbala's books, you'll hear him say that prayer is the spiritual engine of the church. And it's the spiritual engine of your life. So develop a prayer team. Encourage you to do that. Number two is develop a prayer card. And this is one that I came up with. I don't have any more. We it's just an illustration. If you're here with a friend or you're in the same Bible study class, I'm sorry. Me with a little faith. Forgive me, for I have sinned and not filled out enough cards. Okay. Develop this prayer card. And, you know, one of the things, the complaints I hear is you know, sometimes we do too much. You can never do enough prayer, but you know what I'm saying? It just takes too long. So here's an idea that I developed, and I just want to encourage you to, you know, maybe consider prayer. Here's another one. You know, we want you to put your name here, date it, phone, home or cell, email, just how we can get in touch with you. What's your prayer need? And then circle one, public or private, meaning is this okay to put out to the class, or would you like just for it to be private and stay among the prayer team? See the point? And then the real cool thing is here is date answered and how it was answered. All right? Which develop, number three, develop a prayer journal. I'm bad about this. I know God's blessed, and I know he's answered a lot of stuff, but if you don't journal that, if you don't write it down as reminders, you forget that God answered that, right? And then when you get in the time of need, you're going, okay, God, where are you? And God's going, I've been there. The tower's answered many times. You just remember those times. And then number four is to give brief weekly updates on what God is doing. Okay, so let's say that we put Pastor Greg's name on here, and he comes back tomorrow, and he has a great event, and God really begins this spiritual revival that sweeps across America. Okay, we're gonna write that down, aren't we? Because remember, we read about how they celebrated and rejoiced in God's word. We need to celebrate those times of joy, the times when God answers. Now, sometimes we won't like the way he answers, right? When you pray for a loved one, pray for healing, and the healing doesn't come and they die. I've seen many people turn on God and do this, and God, why did you take my loved one? Why? Well, heaven is not a bad destination, right? I mean, someone says, well, you know, sure does beat the alternative. What? Heaven, baby. Heaven. Heaven. That's going to be awesome. Things you read in the Bible about what heaven is, you know, ladies, you know how you like a little gold on you? We're walking on it, okay? That's what God thinks of it. We're going to walk on it, okay? Read about what God's word says about heaven. Yes. We need to stay here as long as God wants us to stay here and do his mission, do his work. But heaven is our destination. This isn't our home, right? It's what God's word says. Amen? Amen. It's in our home. We're just passing through. Young guy, 5 years ago, I had my left knee replaced. Painful. That was brutal. Doctor was kind to say, hey, I'm a young guy with an old knee. I said, thank you, doc. I appreciate that. Heard it when I was 16, so I'm 49. You know, I couldn't handle the pain. But, man, when we get to heaven, new bodies, oh, it's going to be great. So not a bad gig when we think about heaven. Celebrate what good God is doing, and then celebrate with praise and thankfulness. Now, one of the things we can do about getting it out in public, we've got classes in our church that do emails. They give prayer requests, and then at the end they give praises, and they date it. So you had this great prayer that we had. We need to pray for this person, and then God answered this way. We need to celebrate that, okay? Even if we know that they're believers and they go to heaven, thank God, you know, God took them on home. Father who's 95 years old, he's tired, he's ready to go on. He asks every day, God, just go ahead and take me home. God's ready. His name is, we call him Pawpaw. He's awesome. He preached to me last Christmas, sits in the kitchen table and just preaches. God one day will take him home when he's ready. But we have the opportunity to pray. And we need to be about that. Amen? I'd have to copy these down. Or this is some prayer resources, scriptures on prayer, and some books on prayer. Anybody read Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire? Okay, a few of you. And then Simba also did Fresh Faith. A book that I'm almost finished now. It's called Spirit Rising that Simba wrote. Wow. Unbelievable. Then Cimbala does a deal on when God's people pray. It's like a 5 or 6 week DVD study. Phenomenal. And then he does one when God's Spirit moves. It's also incredible. And then his last book that just came out called Storm. Anybody read Circle Maker by Mark Batterson? Anybody like that book? That was good. I gave that out to our First Impressions team. And that was 2 years ago, and I still have people commenting about that book. It's a great book. We're supposed to be done at 10:15, right? Okay. Look at these scriptures on prayer at your convenience, and try to incorporate them and put them into your life, and then find other opportunities to read God's word. I'm going through the New Testament right now, and I'm in Matthew, and it just jumped out at me and reminded me how often Jesus slipped away and went and prayed. I know some of you young folks like to mountain hike and all that kind of stuff. Read this morning, Jesus, you know, climbed this mountain. I thought, man, what a stud. You know, often did a saying. Listen, if Jesus, the Son of God, person of the Trinity, had to connect with his Father, we need to do that as well. Right? Report to the tower. Okay? Ma'am? I'll get there maybe. Prayers down. See when God answers them. And then be grateful and give him great praise. Spirit Rising, Cimbala's book, came out a couple years ago. Opens up. Can I share the story and then we'll be done, okay? We'll be done on time. His wife Carol is gone out of town. He goes to Long Island, eats at one of his favorite cafes. On his Kindle, he has the New York Times, and he's reading a story. And it's a story about Christians in Pakistan being murdered. Whole families, they come in because they find out that they're Christians. Martyrs. People being murdered for Christianity. And it breaks his heart. I'm going to condense this so I can get this in. Breaks his heart. And he says, God, what do I do? And begins to pray for these people, pray for these people. That was on a Tuesday. Tuesday night comes, and he's in his Tuesday night prayer time, and God reminds him of this story. God, what do you want me to do? He's connecting in with the tower, okay? Getting with the tower. And he led his church to pray for this family in Pakistan. It was bad. They yelled, if you come out, we will murder you. We will kill you. And they had their kids backed up against the door to keep them back. And it was awful. So he tells his story about what he read in the New York Times that day. And he says, we need to pray. So they get in their prayer groups. And for about 30 minutes, they're praying. He says, okay, God, we're about done and it's offering time. What do we do? How do we help these people? And he just felt like God wanted him to, you know, do some more. So he said, so they prayed, and he was getting ready to finish the prayer, and he finished, and he looks up and has him seated, and one of his pastors comes running down the aisle. He says, Pastor Cimbala, I got something to tell you. So he turns his mic off. He says, what is it? He goes, we got a lady back there from this very town in Pakistan. He says, bring her forward. So he brings her forward. He talks to her. Off the mic. Are you from this town? Yes. What do you do? She said, my husband. Aware of this story? Yes. I'm very aware of this story. And so, if he had not been led by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, he would not have said anything to his church about this. He said, is this the first time you've ever been to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church? She said, yes, sir. So the church takes up an offering. They verify this family. And they verify all these other types of things, and they get the money over there to help. You know what? Go to YouTube and type in Cimbala. You see his name, how it's spelled. And watch this sermon that he preaches called, My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer. years ago. Bill Gaither, older name, did these traveling concerts. He was asked by Gaither to come and preach, and the story goes he stayed up all night, didn't know what to do. He couldn't get direction from the tower. And so he goes, and God just leads him to share this sermon on prayer. Whew, Lord, it's good. Okay? So that's it. And there's many people of faith in your church that pray and believe. But those are, Jim Semble is one of my heroes. And he's going to be at our state evangelism conference next Tuesday night. So guess where I'll be. May I pray for you? Okay? If you want to pray, you pray too. But let me pray us out here. I'm honored to be with you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Father, we thank you. We love you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you that you desire to hear from your children. God, I pray you'll take this group of people. You'll burn prayer into their heart and their mind. Thank you just for us to be able to communicate with our Heavenly Father, God Almighty. Wow. We're so blessed to be able to come to the throne of grace to find mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Wow. No other religion is like ours because it's a relationship and not a religion. It's awesome. So thank you. Thank you for communicating with us through your word and through people and through various ways. God, we love you. I pray we'll be connected to the tower in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.